At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's gospel, we find Jesus fasting for 40 days in the desert. Are we supposed to imitate 40 days of no eating? Few Christians did. But maybe the better question is, where do we draw the line between generosity and pride? I mean, St. Thomas Aquinas wrote once that pride is inordinate desire of one's own excellence. Inordinate desire of one's own excellence. So where's the line between pride and generosity in trying to live like Jesus? Not only in fasting, but in all aspects of life. When do we know if we're biting off more than we can chew? I think the answer also comes to us from St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologica and his section on magnanimity. St. Thomas Aquinas writes in question 129, quote, "Magnanimity, by its very name, denotes stretching forth of the mind to great things. A man is said to be magnanimous chiefly because he is minded to do some great act." Close quote. Great things and great acts. Magnanimity in the Latin literally means great soul, seeking excellence or generosity. St. Thomas Aquinas even admits in Article 3, Objection 4, that something as great as magnanimity seems opposed to humility. And I think that could be true for our lives. Couldn't it seem that magnanimity is opposed to humility? But his rebuttal to this is brilliant. Quote, "There is in man something great which he possesses through the gift of God, and something defective which accrues to him through the weakness of nature. Accordingly, magnanimity makes a man deem himself worthy of great things in consideration of the gifts he holds from God. Thus, if his soul is endowed with great virtue, magnanimity makes him tend to perfect works of virtue." Close quote. So the line to tell you if you're being prideful or generous in life is in consideration of the gifts you have from God. One of the church fathers wrote, "The measure of a man's love for God depends on how deeply aware he is of God's love for him." And I think of how St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Francis of Assisi were so taken by Jesus' love on the cross, so taken by the love of Christ crucified, they could not help but respond in the same love. Now, if you compare yourself to the saints, you'll get depressed. And if you compare yourself to public sinners, you'll get prideful. So St. Thomas Aquinas continues in the same section, quote, "Yet humility makes us honor others and esteem them better than ourselves insofar as we see some of God's gifts in them." Close quote. Yet humility makes us honor others and esteem them better than ourselves insofar as we see some of God's gifts in them. In other words, the little good you see in even an enemy is better than what good comes from you, which is nothing. Since what we possess is good, we only possess through the gift of God. It's not ours. But if you rejoice in others' gifts, if you rejoice in others' holiness, if you rejoice in others' excellence, that is how you can tell if you have enough humility to live great magnanimity. That is, excellence in family life, or excellence in sports, or exercise, or how many books you read, or the amount of rosaries you pray every day, or even fasting. It's different for everybody, in consideration of the gifts that every man or woman holds from God, young and old. The marriage of humility and magnanimity is found wonderfully in one certain Lenten resolution of St. Francis of Assisi. We'll close with this. The Fioretti of St. Francis recounts, "Once on a time, St. Francis, on the day of the carnival, that's in modern terms Mardi Gras, went to the lake of Perugia, to the house of one of his disciples, where he was entertained for the night, and there he was inspired by God to pass this Lent on an island in the lake. Wherefore, St. Francis prayed his disciple that for the love of Christ he would carry him across in his little boat to an island in the lake where no one inhabited, and that he would do this on the night of Ash Wednesday, so that no one might know of it. Then the other, for the great love and devotion he bore to St. Francis, solicitous to grant his request, carried him to the said island, and St. Francis took nothing with him but two little loaves of bread. And when they had arrived at the island, and his friend was about to return to his home, St. Francis earnestly besought him not to reveal to anyone what he was going to do, and not to come again till Holy Thursday. And he remained there the whole of Lent, without eating or drinking, except the half of one of those little loaves, as was witnessed by his disciple when he returned to him on Holy Thursday, who found, of the two loaves, one entire and the half of the other. It is believed that St. Francis so refrained from eating out of reverence for the fasting of the Blessed Christ, who fasted 40 days and 40 nights without taking any material food. And thus, with that half loaf, he kept from himself the poison of vainglory. And after the example of Christ, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.